Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hi guys, Sarah here. Just wanted to let you all know that we have set up a Buy Me a Coffee account. What is Buy Me a Coffee? Well, it's a platform where you can donate as little as the cost of a coffee to our podcast. Your donation will go towards the running costs of this podcast. Our goal is to reach $480, which is the yearly cost of our platform host, Buzzsprout. You can find the links to Buy Me a Coffee page on our socials, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram, our blog at www.fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com or at www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Bianca.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Amy. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than start a podcast like millions of other people around the world. We're all living La Vida lockdown. But now we're free. Yay!
Yay!
So we take aim at one topic each week with a bottle or three of wine. And that's just me. But anyway, yeah. And then we try to make some sense of me and Sarah, and often Bianca as well. So, yeah,
yes.
It's fun time, people. Strap in. All right, ladies, what are we drinking?
Well, I am drinking Rocket Like a Redhead. I wrote Rocket Like a Rebel in Forest, but anyway, it's Rocket Like a Redhead, the Rebel, Savvy B, from my owl. I say my. Amy said she was out, but she's not.
Sorry.
One game. Yeah. Whoopsie. Sorry about that. I will turn my phone on silent. I'm editing. I may as well leave that in. I'm so tired. Oh, God. I'm running on 3 hours sleep after working a 12-hour shift last night. This is just.
You'll sleep well tonight.
I will. The things I do for the podcast.
Well, I'm not drinking again. So, Amy, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Carpenter Rocks Pinot Grigio. Pinot Gris. And if anybody had listened to previous episodes, Bianca started screaming at me one day when we'd just gotten onto the call for the podcast, put rocks in your cart. And I didn't know what she was talking about. It took me a hot minute there, yeah, and I understood what she was talking about. So on Bianca's recommendation, I am drinking Rocks Pinot Gris, and it's pretty good, must say. Yeah.
I think I was half a bottle down by the time we started the podcast, so yeah, put rocks in your car.
And I did.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, let's crack on, guys. Bianca. What's the topic for tonight?
So our topic tonight is extraordinary coincidences.
Extraordinary.
I know. I need to put it on a bit of an accent. It's just that word.
It's from that show. Remember the show? Extraordinary. And it had the letters that flash across the screen.
Vaguely like a fever dream.
And I think the guy's name was Warwick Moss, I think. It was an Australian show. I used to watch it with my dad, but it was way past my bedtime, so we had to wait until Mum went.
It was real late at night. I was never allowed to watch it.
My dad had let me. If my mum's a night shift nurse, and so if Mum had gone to work, he'd go, yeah, let's watch it. The Extraordinary.
Never heard of it.
Oh, interesting. Well, on extraordinary coincidences. So a coincidence is a remarkable concurrence. Oh, my desk moved. I almost lost my line. That was terrible. Calm down, desk.
Calm, desk, you're drunk.
Yeah. Or tired. I understand. Okay. All right, so a coincidence is a remarkable concurrence of events or circumstances that have no apparent casual connection with one another. right? The perception of remarkable coincidences may lead to supernatural, occult, or paranormal claims. Or it may lead to the belief of fatalism, which is a doctrine that events will happen in the exact manner of a predetermined plan. In general, the perception of coincidence, for lack of a more sophisticated explanation, can serve as a link to folk psychology or philosophy. Yeah.
So like this, that whole concept of that everything happens for a reason sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's folk psychology, like Murphy's Law.
Murphy's Law I believe in, but everything happens for a reason I don't believe in.
So, yes, from a statistical perspective, coincidences are inevitable and often less remarkable than they may appear intuitively. And usually coincidences are chance events with underestimated probability. An example is the birthday problem, which shows that the probability of two persons having the same birthday already exceeds 50% in a group of only 23 people.
What?
Yeah.
I'm trying to, my maths is not great on the best of days, but I'm trying to wrap my head around how that works. I can't, yeah. I can't do the math in my head.
So, yeah, the probability of being in a room of 23 people, there's someone there that, well, there'll be people there that will share birthdays.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was interesting. And in my deep dive into coincidences, I came across this one that I found it really interesting, so I just had to run with it because I just love this idea. So it's what's known as a coincidence theorist. Now, someone who rejects the claims of conspiracy theories, believing that any other observations or occurrences are just coincidences. I like that.
Yes. I'm very much that sort of human. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually a derogatory term too.
I bet. A lot of terms used to describe me are derogatory. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sarah.
True. Yeah. Although you do take fuck face in your strides. So, yeah.
Look, yeah. Sometimes you just got to pick your battles. So, yeah. You know.
So, my particular coincidences that I'm going to cover are claimed coincidences connecting US presidents Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy. And these are a piece of American folklore of actually unknown origin, right? It's a list of coincidences which appeared in mainstream American press in 1964. A year after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and it also appeared prior to that in the GOP Congressional Committee newsletter. If you don't know what GOP is short for Grand Old Party and is the nickname for the Republican Party of the United States of America.
Ah, that's where I've heard it. Ah, okay. Understand now.
Yes. Yeah.
Know what it meant. Yeah.
No, because we're in Australia and we don't have those sort of political, you know, who's he, what's it. So a dude by the name of Martin Gardner examined the list in an article in Scientific American, later reprinted in his book, The Magic Numbers of Dr. Matrix. Gardner's version of the list contained 16 items. Many subsequent versions have circulated much, much longer lists. The list is still in circulation today, having endured in the popular imagination for over 50 years. In 1992, the Skeptical Inquirer, which is a magazine, ran a spooky presidential coincidences contest. One winner found a series of 16 similar coincidences between Kennedy and former Mexican president Alvaro Obregón. And another person came out with a similar list for 21 pairs of US presidents. And as we know from what I researched before. Well, it's just a coincidence. These things happen a lot more often than we know. So with that, I've taken some excerpts from this coincidence list that are commonly associated with with conspiracy. Mm-hmm. So some of these statements are not true statements. So, ladies, are you ready to play coincidence or conspiracy?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Okay. Love a game. Let's go.
All right. First one. Lincoln and Kennedy each have 7 letters.
Coincidence.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking obvious, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly. Yeah, it wasn't much of a stretch there. Yep.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Further to this, though, both sons' names, William Wallace Lincoln and Patrick Bouvier Kennedy, have 21 letters each having 7 letters, first, middle, and last.
Coincidence.
Yeah.
They're pretty that common is, names yeah. at that time.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so that's that. Both presidents were elected to Congress in 46 and later to presidency in 60. So they're the years, a 46 year and a 60 year.
No, I'd say that'd be more of a coincidence.
Same.
Yeah. So both were elected to Congress in 46. Lincoln was elected in 1846 from Illinois, and Kennedy was elected from 1946 from Massachusetts. Different states. Yeah, but same years. Both married women in their 20s while themselves were in their 30s.
No, that's just a coincidence.
That's pretty average. Pretty common. Yeah.
Definitely a coincidence. Lincoln was married on November 4th, 1842. Lincoln was born on February 12th, 1809. Just as roastable facts in there. Making him 33 years old at the time of his wedding. Lincoln's bride, Marianne Todd, was born on December 13, 1818, making her 23 years old at the time of the wedding. Kennedy was married on May 29th, 1917, making him 36 years old at the time of his wedding. Kennedy's bride, Jacqueline Bouvier, was born on July 28th, 24 years old at the time of the wedding. So it's a bit of a stretch to put those two things together, really. I mean, 30s and 20s, it was entire decades. Like, these people were pulling at strings to get this list together, I tell you. Next one. Both lost a son while living in the White House.
Is that true? That's a coincidence.
That would have to be a coincidence.
Yeah. So both lost a son while living in the White House. Lincoln lost his 11-year-old son, William, and Kennedy lost his infant son, Patrick.
Yeah.
Next one. Both were shot in the presence of their wives.
Coincidence.
Yeah. Both bad assassins, timing. John Wilkes Booth and Lee Harvey Oswald. Yes, they shot Kennedy and Lincoln and the presence of their wives. Next one. Booth ran from Ford's Theatre and was caught in a warehouse. Oswald ran from Dealey Plaza warehouse and was caught in a theatre.
Coincidence.
Conspiracy. No, that's probably coincidence.
No, you were right. It was a conspiracy. Ding,
oh,
ding.
God.
Yes.
Explain how.
I have no idea.
Booth did run from Ford's Theatre where he shot Lincoln, but was caught in a barn. Tis a fine barn. Tis no pool.
It's no pool, though.
Yeah. So it was not a warehouse. Yeah, it wasn't a warehouse. Oswald fled the Texas School Book Depository, which was a warehouse.
Yeah.
And then he was arrested in a movie theatre. So it was sort of half-half, but they weren't connected. So, yeah, it wasn't like opposites. So Sarah was right. Just to rub some more salt in your wound, Sarah was right.
I have at least 70 questions, but I am going to keep my mouth shut.
Next one. Both successors were Southern Democrats surnamed Johnson. Both were born in 08, and their first names contained 6 letters.
Coincidence.
Yeah. Both of the president's successors were named Johnson. Lincoln was succeeded by Andrew Johnson, and Kennedy was succeeded by Lyndon B. Johnson. And also, they were both succeeded by Southerners. Andrew Johnson from Tennessee and Lyndon Johnson was from Texas. And both successors were born in 08. Andrew Johnson, December 29th, 1808. And Lyndon Johnson was August 27, 1908. Yes. A few coincidences there. The assassins were both... Oh, I got that. I already read that out. Oh, no, the assassins. No, I ruined that one. I knew I should have put them one after the other for the southern question.
But then my brain went, let's just mix some shit up.
Yeah, yeah, like this will be fine. This will be fine.
Narrator says, and it wasn't fine.
Yeah, it really wasn't. Next one. Okay. Both were particularly concerned with civil rights and made their views strongly known. Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation in 1862, which became law a year later. A century later, Kennedy presented his reports to Congress on civil rights during the famous March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom of the same year.
Coincidence?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sure was. Next one. Both presidents were shot in the head on a Friday and died at nearby locations.
Coincidence?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yes. Coincidence, they were both shot on a Friday. Lincoln was shot on Good Friday, April 14th, 1865, and Kennedy was shot on Friday, November 22nd, 1963. Wasn't it him, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. Easter is going to the theatre. Ah, bitches. So next one, Lincoln was shot at Ford's Theatre. Kennedy was shot in a Ford car, a Lincoln limousine.
Coincidence.
Yeah. I love that some people pass this off as conspiracies. Like, that's the thing. People pass this off like this list is like a conspiracy list. It's cool.
But you can look from like the future now back to then and draw all of these things in there. But how could it have been a conspiracy? That means that there would have to be some thought about assassinating one to match the other set of circumstances, whatever you're trying to do. There's so many things in that people wouldn't have known, and there would have been no way to know. So it's just hindsight talking. That's all it is.
Well, this list did come out like straight after Kennedy was shot. I'm sure it was some tinfoil hat brigade that put it together. Who was obviously Republican as well, which says much.
Didn't they claim the Mexicans?
I don't want to get assassinated. I really don't want to like get suddenly assassinated now. All right, I've got two more to go. Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy who told him not to go to Ford's Theatre. Kennedy had a secretary named Evelyn Lincoln, whose husband, Harold, nickname was Abe, and she warned him not to go to Dallas.
Coincidence.
Yeah, I want to say coincidence.
Conspiracy.
Ah.
So.
How?
Although President Kennedy did have a female secretary named Evelyn Lincoln, there is no record that President Lincoln ever had a secretary named Kennedy, ever. He did have two secretaries, and nope, they were men. Last one. Both Oswald and Booth were assassinated before they could be put on trial.
Yes, this I say is a conspiracy. This was a bit fucked up. I don't know why that happened.
Well, it's a complete coincidence. So
bullshit.
must be bullshit. Amy said so.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's a coincidence, my dudes. On April 26, 1865, after refusing to surrender, John Wilkes Booth was assassinated by Sergeant Boston Corbett. And on November 24, 1963, on his way to county jail, Lee Harvey Oswald was assassinated by nightclub owner Jack Ruby.
Yeah, that's all sorts of conspiracy. If we ever do an episode about the assassination of Kennedy, oh, my God, there's so much that goes into that.
And we'll let you take over the entire episode.
Oh, mate, you won't be able to stop me. There will be no letting. I'll just railroad the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, after my game is completed, Sarah won. So, yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations, Sarah.
Amy in a game.
A game of knowledge.
Yeah, I know. What your prize is.
Is it my turn next?
It is. Wow. Unpack your prize and be on your way.
Woohoo.
I wanted a holiday, but whatever.
Yeah, I would have loved to have had a holiday, but. All right. So I got my part of Best Life Online, 40 Amazing Coincidences.
Nice.
And I pretty much copy and paste.
But I did look at. Yeah, I saw that list and I did not like touch it. So, yep.
Yeah.
This is all new to me. Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, so I just want everyone to know I pretty much copy and pasted because I could not be fucked this week.
Sometimes other people just say it better.
They
like,
do.
I know the words I want and I could
especially
rewrite it.
Saying
but
it better
I'm
than
just gonna I'm just gonna source them. It's fine.
Yeah.
They're like special sauce and not in a weird creepy way.
That's like outsourcing your segment of the podcast to free shit you found online. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And personally, have we listened to past episodes when I've actually written my topic?
Oh, that's my favorite though.
Yeah, yes, same.
Really
I really out. Miss those days.
Yeah, nah. Never turns out well. And I'm always dictating shit. And,
oh, I love it. I love your dictation. There needs to be more of it. I miss it. Can we have it back?
It's the fourth member of this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the listeners do not want to hear it.
Oh, they don't.
So, do you want to hear it? Because I do.
Please let us know. FridayNightWiFi@gmail.com.
And she's not drinking.
And I'm not drinking.
Funnily enough, it helps when she's drinking. Gets all the fuck up when she's sick.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I've got two. So the first one is Esther and Paul Garchin. So they'd been seeing each other for a short time when Paul decided to ask Esther to be his girlfriend. One day, while paying for a sandwich, he noticed that a dollar bill he was about to hand to the cashier had Esther written on it in pencil. He thought, how strange is this? What are the chances? So he kept the bill and then he decided to frame it and give it to Esther as a gift. She was absolutely speechless when she saw it, but told him to ask her about it later. Years passed, they got engaged and then married, and the framed dollar resurfaced in their home. Apparently, Esther had written her name on the dollar bill and a few others after a breakup she had had prior to meeting Paul, and said to herself at the time that she would marry the man who brought it back to her. She didn't want to tell him about this. Because she didn't want to bring up the topic of marriage so soon in their relationship and scare him off.
And let's be honest, that story sounds a bit psychotic.
It's really sweet. That was so cute.
Depressed, writing your name on a bill.
I have to get a Sharpie and write my name on some notes.
Yeah, it's illegal, mate. Don't do that.
Well, the moment he gave her the note in the frame, she went, yep, I'm marrying him. And they did.
Hmm.
I thought it was cute. It was a nice coincidence that, you know, he was the one that found it.
I just vomited.
I'm so touched.
A little bit.
I'm so touched.
Amy, you have no heart.
I know. I don't.
Yeah.
Jaded and buried somewhere in my backyard.
This is why we balance each other out. I'll just take on all of these emotions. I was over here crying. It's so sweet.
Yeah. And I have the emotions, I just don't show it. That's my problem.
I don't have any.
Oh, that's cute. That's about as much as you get out of me.
I don't have those feelings at all. They're gross. Ew, feelings. Blech.
Oh, well, my next one is Richard Parker.
Richard Parker.
So in Edgar Allan Poe's 1838 novel, The Narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym of Nantucket. A four-man crew is shipwrecked. It's a fucking novel, Amy. Pick up a book.
Obviously.
Yeah. You learn how to read? This case shut down tonight.
Of all of Edgar Allan Poe's works, I have not heard of that one. So, yeah, hence the sarcasm.
Anyway, so the story is a four-man crew is shipwrecked and lost at sea without food or water. Ultimately, the team decide that they must turn to cannibalism to survive. And they draw straws and decide who will be sacrificed so the rest can live.
That story went south quick.
Yeah. So the character chosen and eaten was named Richard Parker.
Okay.
So in 1884, a real ship was shipwrecked, and one of the names of the mates was Richard Parker.
That's fucking unfortunate, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Paul Parker, he fell ill after drinking seawater.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah. And the rest of the crew decided out of desperation to kill and eat Paul Parker. So, yeah, so they decided to eat him before he became tainted and diseased. So Paul Parker ended up just like the novel, eaten.
Wow.
Yep. That's but the remainder. Good coincidence. Yeah, but the remainder of the men. No, just the remainder of the men who survived were actually saved not long after. Like, I think it was the next day.
Oh, that's fucking unfortunate, yeah. Isn't it?
And they
so it wasn't like an alive situation. You're stuck on like the mountains or anything else. No, they're in the ocean. But,
I mean, they've been out in the ocean for a while, but they just happened to be rescued the next day.
The irony in that.
Yeah. Oh. And they were all charged with murder upon returning to shore. Except for Parker, who was in fact dead.
He was pardoned.
It's like an Academy Award, like posthumously.
He was pardoned from the murder of himself because he was in fact the victim.
Yes. Poor Parker. So he drank seawater, didn't turn into a Spider-Man. And, yeah.
It's too hard, it's too funny.
So what a coincidence. He ended up just like the guy in the book.
I like it. I like it.
People, if your last name is Parker, do not name your son Richard. He may end up dying at sea and being eaten.
Oh, God. Could you imagine going to school with a kid named Richard Parker?
Guys, has nobody got this, that his nickname would have been Dick Parker?
Yeah, like his nickname would have been Condom. Like,
he's a Dick Parker.
Yeah, because he's a Dick Parker.
Okay, nowadays, yes. Back then, no.
Oh, no, he still would have been called Dick. It just wasn't
funny. He still would have been called Dick, but yeah.
Dick Parker? Oh, Parker where? Who'd you parking in last night? Oh, yeah. Sorry, that was
been going Bianca, since the 1800s.
No, that's been going since the
1800s. I'm sorry. I, like, mentally, I'm a 14-year-old boy, so. Dick Parker.
Sorry. So, Amy, what have you got for us?
Well, this topic was really intriguing to me, and I was really psyched to do some research, particularly after I covered James Dean's car in our Haunted Things episode. If you've not listened to that episode, I suggest you listen to it, because the story behind James Dean's car could be explained by coincidence. It just, it's extraordinary, the amount of coincidences that happened with that car. So tonight, I wanted to discuss some coincidences which I stumbled across, which made me think, wow, okay, cool. So let me first tell you the tale of the son of Abraham Lincoln. His name was Robert Lincoln. And let me tell you how he was present or nearby during three presidential assassinations.
Yeah. Read this one.
Yeah. So the first assassination was of his father, Abraham Lincoln. Now, Robert wasn't actually present inside the theater when his father was assassinated, but he was nearby in the White House when it happened. The second was the assassination of James Garfield. By invitation of President Garfield, Robert was at the 6th Street train station in Washington, D.C. when President Garfield was shot by Charles Goethe. I think it's Goethe. I don't know how to say that. Yeah. It's French. I don't get it. Anyway, so Robert was serving as the Secretary of War at the time for President Garfield. So he was actually working for President Garfield at the time. The third assassination was of William McKinley. By invitation of President McKinley, Robert was at the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo, New York. Exposition. Maybe that was expedition. I don't know. Maybe expedition, exposition. I don't know. Expo. That'll do. Yeah.
Yeah.
In Buffalo, New York, when President McKinley was shot by, here's another name I can't say. So Leon.
Oh, Jesus.
Russian. So it's a CZ. So Zolosk.
Oh, yes. That's probably it.
Yeah. So that's my crack at Russian. So yeah. But he was not in the building at the time. He was just outside. So yeah, he was very close by for all three assassinations. After that, Robert was said to have later refused all presidential invitations with the comment, "No, I'm not going. They better not ask me because there's certain to be a fatality about when I'm at a presidential function." Fair call, mate. Fair call. Yep. I feel that. Yeah. But this was not the only strange coincidence set that happened to Robert during his life. Robert was actually once saved from possible serious injury or death by Edwin Booth, whose brother, John Wilkes Booth, assassinated Robert's father, Abraham.
He
was clearly
uncanny.
Nicer than his asshole brother.
Well, yeah, it is quite uncanny. So the incident took place on a train platform in Jersey City in the USA. The exact date of the incident is uncertain. However, it is believed to have taken place in either late 1863 or 64. So this was a year or two before Abraham was assassinated.
Oh.
Yes. Robert was 21 at the time. Robert fell between the tracks, fell between the train and the platform as he was waiting to board the train. He was effectively stuck, and then the train started moving. Edwin saw Robert and grabbed him by the collar, hoisting him to safety. Robert actually recognized Edwin because Edwin was a famous actor at the time. Edwin was recognized by the officer of staff, which was then General Ulysses, I think that's how you say it, Grant.
Ulysses,
for his act of heroism. Edwin did not know the young man who he had saved that day, but he was told by the general that it was actually the president's son. So that was years and years and years before Abraham Lincoln was actually assassinated by Edwin's brother.
Ties it nicely to my shit. Like it. I like it.
Yeah,
we just sandwiched this nicely. we know how to sandwich.
Was Kennedy's son ever saved by what's his face's brother?
Right?
Is that one of the questions?
You know, American listeners, I mean, can you let us know? Is that a thing? Like, so dumb on American facts. I have no idea. It could be true.
I have a last bonus fact.
So weird.
Yeah, Sarah started a new conspiracy. Tinfoil hat brigade. Can you also confirm it's true?
A tinfoil hat brigade does not listen to this podcast, that's for sure.
Damn sure.
You know how we know? I'd be dead.
We've called them the Tinfoil Hat Brigade on many occasions. We'd all be dead.
They've changed their name legally to the Tinfoil Hat Brigade. I mean, come on. They love the name.
On that note, I have had so much fun researching this topic, as I did with the other topics from the last few weeks. However, we would love some topic suggestions from our listeners. If you have a topic which you would like us to discuss, email us at FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter. Basically, you can hit us up everywhere. Yeah. Throw your topic suggestions at us. To everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to our rubbish. We hope that you have found it entertaining and not using any of the facts discussed in this recording to make important decisions in your lives. Unless, of course, it's in relation to hosting young men out of precarious spots and train stations and then having your brother going assassinate their father. What else? Deciding whether something is a conspiracy or a coincidence. Or in the protection, the purchase and use of a protection chainsaw.
Yes.
All right, guys. Thanks very much for listening. A good night. Bye-bye. Bye.